At the Movies with CJ Johnson.
CJ, good evening. Welcome to Nightlife.
Good evening. Thank you very much.
All right. We've got Godzilla and Asterisk and the Secret of the Magic Potion. Well, it's not. Is this Godzilla 2?
This is Godzilla 2, colon, King of the Monsters. You remember Godzilla 1? Are you hanging on the edge of your seat to find out what happened to Godzilla after Godzilla 1?
I don't think so. Godzilla's a very ancient monster, isn't he?
Godzilla's an ancient property, that's for sure. He goes back to Toho Studios in Japan.
It's a Japanese thing, isn't
it? Yes, it's very much a Japanese thing, and it goes back to the 1950s,
right,
very much in response to the dropping of the atomic bomb.
Okay.
Godzilla was born of that tragedy, supposedly. And so Godzilla, as he emerged from the harbour in Tokyo and rampaged through Tokyo in the original Godzilla movie back in the 1950s, was supposedly born out of nuclear waste, and he was very much an anti-nuclear statement.
Okay. So yeah. it was an entirely Japanese creation.
Entirely Japanese creation with a strong sort of angry political message, even though that message came in a lizard suit, because famously the original Godzilla was played by a man in a lizard suit, in a Godzilla suit. I mean, he's sort of a big lizard is what he is. And he rampaged his way through miniature sets. So, you know, like if you go to Town Hall in Sydney and you see that beautiful set of the Sydney CBD, imagine that of Tokyo, you know. And
so that's how they did it.
That's how they did it.
So they built a miniature Tokyo.
And a man was in a Godzilla outfit and rampaged through the miniature Tokyo.
That's quite a lot of work, isn't it?
It is quite a lot of work. And it's a famously entertaining movie. And then famously...
Doesn't it have that there's a famous scene in it, isn't it?
Well, there are quite a few famous scenes, because what happened was someone realized this thing has legs. So they released it in the United States. And what they had to do was first they dubbed the whole thing, because woe betide, there were subtitles in the 1950s. So they dubbed the whole thing, but also it was aiming for a commercial thing. This was not an art house thing. So they dubbed the whole thing, but then they shot additional sequences with the actor Raymond Burr. And so his name then appeared above the title, and it became a vehicle for Raymond Burr, even though he wasn't in it at all before this. They just shot scenes of him, you know, in like...
Oh, he wasn't the original Godzilla at all.
No, he wasn't in it at all.
So he was just in the additional scenes.
In the additional scenes. So he'd be like in, you know, an engineering control room type thing, being like, we've got to stop that lizard, you know, lots of that stuff. And they just spliced it into the movie. And that was, and it was a big success. And it spawned so many sequels. And the sequels very often had Godzilla fighting different monsters. And famously, the sort of most quote-unquote feminine of those monsters was this giant moth called Mothra. Well, Godzilla, you know, kept on slugging away and the various different
monsters. So it became
monsters.
An American property after this, didn't it?
Well, no, it stayed with Toho Studios and it stayed a Japanese property, but they started making them more and more with the American market in mind, but still in Japan. And they continued all the way through the 60s and into the 70s, and there were literally dozens of them. And then the thing went to bed, and then it came alive again at certain points, and it's always been around as this sort of property. And then in 1998, Hollywood decided to reboot it and did a big, expensive, you know, computer-generated motion picture version with Matthew Broderick, directed by Roland Emmerich. That was in 1998. And then a few years ago in 2014, they decided to reboot it again. So it was a reboot of a reboot of a reboot of the original Godzilla starring Bryan Cranston and a whole bunch of A-listers, Juliette Binoche, Sally Hawkins, all these people, directed by an Englishman named Gareth Edwards, I think his last name is. And it was admirable for its restraint. For example, we didn't see Godzilla until the third act of the movie. There was a lot of build-up and everything, and then we finally saw, and we didn't see very much of Godzilla. And it was kind of a smart, interesting take. Now, parallel along with this, the studio that made that, Legendary Pictures, and it spent a lot of money on it, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars, also had gotten the rights to King Kong. So now it's got Godzilla and King Kong under its domain, within its shingle. Now, they're both large creatures.
Yep.
So it's released two King Kong movies so far. And this does not include the Peter Jackson one from 2005. It rebooted that King Kong, and it's released two of those, Kong and Kong Skull Island, which was actually very good. And it's all building towards next year we are getting, of course, Godzilla versus Kong, or Kong versus Godzilla, title, actual title, TBA. So this one is the fourth stepping stone, you know, the fourth stepping stone, two Kong movies, already one Godzilla movie. This is the second Godzilla movie on the way, so that Kong has two, Godzilla has two, on the way to their ultimate death match next year.
So this is called Godzilla 2, King of the Monsters.
Yes.
So this is just like a warm-up bout, is it, for Godzilla?
This is pure filler. This is 2019's holding place for the 2020's big battle. It's really incomprehensible.
Is it any good?
No, it's silly as anything. Well, the good thing about it is it has, once again, they're spending so much money on these things that it has a truly, truly A-list cast of really amazing people. Once again, Sally Hawkins has rejoined us. Now, Sally Hawkins, between The Last Godzilla and this one, was nominated for an Oscar for sleeping with a slimy merman in The Shape of Water. So she's got yards on the board in terms of monster movies, lizard movies. Mm-hmm. You've also got Vera Farmiga. You've got the breakout star from the Stranger Things show, Millie Bobby Brown, who's a teenage girl who's very much, she seems to have been made by the Steven Spielberg factory for sort of intelligent, cute, precocious, adorable, all-American, but travels the world, globally recognizable sort of teenagers. And a wealth of other stars from all nationalities, because you've got to have your Chinese star. Ken Watanabe's in it. You've got to have your Japanese star. You know, this movie is designed to be global, designed to have dialogue that, you know, can be easily dubbed or subtitled around the world, have a lot of action. So basically, there is this corporation or government project that's been built called Monarch, which is designed to kind of protect the world's monsters as they occasionally erupt from underneath the planet, of the surface of the planet, as a sort of environmental thing, keep them in check, you know, better to be close to you, keep your enemies close, etc. And but then, of course, there are naysayers in the world who think destroy all monsters, they shouldn't be around. And so Godzilla comes back at a time when another big monster, which they call Monster X, comes back. And they think that maybe the only way to get rid of Monster X is to sick Godzilla on Godzilla X. But in the meantime, the other 18 monsters around the world come out, including Mothra. So if you've been waiting for Mothra to come out, out comes Mothra.
All right. This is a little from Godzilla 2,
King of the Monsters.
What we are witnessing here is the return of Titans. How many of these things are there?
17 and counting.
That's messed up.
Oh my.
They're moving like a pack. They're hunting. They all respond directly to an alpha. We stop this Ghidorah, we stop them all.
Is there another creature that might stand a chance against him?
My God, Zilla.
This is the kind of movie. Okay. The pleasures of this movie are this A-list cast saying ridiculous lines with absolute commitment. About 6 minutes in, Charles Dance bursts in leading a team of British mercenaries because he's an eco-warrior on a mission to save the monsters but with guns. And he just comes in and he bursts in and he's like, right. And you just think, oh, this is just great. This is. I felt like a kid because it's like from the 80s where they would stack a silly movie with special effects and stars saying extremely dumb dialogue.
Okay. All right, that's Godzilla. Now, what about Asterisk and the Secret of the Magic Potion?
Well, this took me back to my youth in a much more pleasant way. I am thrilled that there's another Asterix movie, and I'm thrilled to be able to take my young daughter along to Asterix and get her on the bandwagon. And I'm really thrilled that this particular Asterix adventure features a strong lung young little girl who's into science. So Asterix is moved with the time. Maybe this is the Asterix for the Me Too generation. Asterix, as you know, is an eternal, wonderful French property about an indomitable village of Gauls who've held out against the Romans because they've got a village with a druid who's got a magic potion. And so even though all of, you know, BC Rome is conquered or by the Romans, these Gauls hold out. And this particular adventure, it's animated, but it's animated very much in the style of the original cartoon books. In this particular adventure, the druid, Getafix, has injured himself and he's worried that he's not going to be around forever. So he decides he has to find a young druid to give the secret of the magic potion to. And so Asterix and his big friend, the Menhir, carrying barrel-chested, slightly dim-witted mate of his, Obelix, go to be the bodyguards, essentially, for the druid. And it turns out there's a little stowaway with them who seems to be about a seven-year-old girl who's very interested in science, and she comes along and proves herself along the way. It is absolutely delightful because the thing about... Did you grow up on Asterix?
No, I know about it, but I didn't. So, no.
I very much did. And the great thing about Asterix is they're very funny, very witty, very smart. They teach you about history. Mm. They teach you about, you know, the Roman history and Gaulish history and basically all of the stuff that was happening back in the Roman times, basically. And they also... they're just incredibly full of wordplay. They are so funny. And the names of all the characters are Vital Statistics, Getafix, Dogmatics, all of these terrific puns. And the movie maintains that spirit. So it really is that brilliant sort of suffusion of a film that is great for the young and great for people my age. Not only those who are nostalgic for Asterix, but just any adult can appreciate the satire on show here.
Fantastic. Asterix and the Secret...
Asterix.
And the Secret of the Magic Potion.
Not once did I even sprain an ankle. Not once. From now on, I cannot be the only one to know the formula to the magic potion.
What?
I will set forth in search of a young successor that I can entrust it to.
What?
This is a disaster, Obelix.
Who knows what'll happen if the magic potion falls into the wrong hands?
Get a fix.
All good fun.
The fishmonger's called Unhygienics, by the way.
Nice. All right, stars for Godzilla?
Oh, it's ridiculous. 2.5.
Okay.
It's the loudest movie I've ever seen, too. sit towards the back, which I normally never say.
Asterix?
3.5.
3.5, okay. And if you've got some kids and they've never been exposed to the world of Asterix, you should take them along.
Superb introduction.
Thanks, CJ.
Au revoir.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.